I saw you while you were still under the fig tree. Words of Jesus spoken to Nathanael. Let's have a prayer as we keep open the passage just read for us. Our Father and our God, may the blessed Holy Spirit illumine our understanding of this, your word, and our response to it as we open these pages together. Amen. Well, good morning, everybody. Hey, if, like Nathanael, under the fig tree, we became aware of Christ's call and that his eyes turned upon us, where were you and I when it happened? Think about it for a moment. Fascinatingly, with Jesus, just about every story is different. Here, Nathanael's beginning was under a fig tree. With a paralytic in Capernaum, it was under a broken up rooftop. With a demonized man once, it was among desolated tombstones. In John 4, it was by an ancient well where a needy woman was drawing water. In Jericho, Jesus spies a crooked tax spiv at the top of a sycamore tree. With a long-term disabled invalid in Jerusalem, it was by a crowded-out pool. Here this morning, it's been a baptism that's been providing a landmark for Marcus, Jay, Ketham, this dear family whom we bless in God's name today. You know, after 50 years of Christian ministry, every story I've ever come across is unique, sometimes almost absurdly so. I used to know a man called George Hoffman. He was to become the founder and director of the Christian charity Tear Fund. And he told me of how he came to the Lord when he was doing his national service for Britain in the army. And he said, it was in that time I had the gospel presented to me. I so much wanted to accept Jesus Christ into my life. I wanted to pray to him. I could find nowhere private to pray. Nowhere at all. Until I thought of the barracks toilet facilities. And kneeling alone there, he said, on the floor of the little cubicle, I asked Jesus Christ into my life. That was my beginning. Well, of course, as we know, there are plenty of followers of Christ who never knew a time when they were not his disciples. They were brought up to know him from the start. But many do know of a moment, a place, when, like Nathanael in verse 48 of John 1 here, they were made aware of Christ's gaze upon them, and they responded to his call. In our current Sunday morning series, we're looking at John's Gospel and at our Lord's dealings with people who met him. Today, it's Nathanael, called from under that fig tree by Jesus. And we note in John chapter 1 here, after the inspiring opening passage about Jesus as the Word, which we love to read at carol services, John then bangs in straight away with these four different characters. First, there was John the Baptist, verse 23, straight out of the desert, all hair and leather, acting in a sense as the advance man for Jesus, as his public relations officer. And John emphasizes two sides to the coming saving work of the Messiah. As Lamb of God, he says, Jesus will be taking away the sin of the world, a ministry of cleansing. And he will be baptizing his disciples with the Holy Spirit, which of course is the inward personal salvation experience that completes the act of water baptism. But then, verse 40, very different from John the Baptist, would be a simple Galilean fisherman, Andrew, who had heard John's words about Jesus and, unable to keep the great discovery of the Messiah of the world to himself, the first thing he does is to involve his fisherman brother, Simon, who one day would be known as the Rock Man, the Apostle Peter. The next in is Philip from the town of Bethsaida. And then it's like a chain reaction. It's Philip who then gets on to Nathanael and tells him, "We've found him, the one predicted by Moses and the prophets, Jesus of Nazareth." Nathanael is something of an intellectual. He studied the ancient scriptures, which don't mention Nazareth. "You're not telling me," he says, "that anything significant ever came out of Nazareth." Philip's reply of verse 46 is really our title heading for today. Come and see. Come and see. Isn't that how numbers of us first ever were won to Jesus Christ? We were saying maybe, "Oh, don't give me all that stuff about church and religion and prayer." But then that friend, whoever it was, did a Philip on us and said, come on, give it just a go with one day with me. Come and see. And that, very simply, is how it begins, time without number. Here's a not untypical story. A full coachload of people was once heading to Wembley Stadium to hear the American evangelist Billy Graham, who, by the way, reached the age of 99 2 weeks ago in America. When the party arrived at Wembley, they said to their coach driver, "Why don't you come in with us? Hear all about it? Come and see for yourself." "No, no," replied the driver. "I'll be all right here. I'll just smoke my cigarette and I'll wait for you to get back." So that was that. But it wasn't the end. Within a few weeks, the coach driver lost his job. And disconsolate and out of work, he finally decided to emigrate to Australia and see if he could find a job there. And there, he was successful and landed a job, happily again, as a driver for a coach company. He turned up for work on the first day, and they said to him, "Ah, yes, today you're going to drive a party to the Melbourne Cricket Ground for a Billy Graham meeting." His first job. As he later put it, "It seemed like a kind of second chance for me." So when the passengers on arrival said to him, "Come and see then what it's all about," he joined them and then responded to the call of Christ there in the Melbourne Cricket Ground. Come and see, all too often, that's the way in. Back to Nathanael. He was to become one of the 12 apostles. Though he doesn't always come under the name of Nathanael, not in John's Gospel, he's probably the same person as Bartholomew, who is there in the other Gospels, whose name, the experts tell us, is a sort of double mix, rather like double-barrel names today. And indeed, the list of the 12 apostles nearly always placed Bartholomew next to Philip in the list, as being somehow associated with him. And as it was Philip who'd first told Nathanael about Jesus, it looks then as though Nathanael and Bartholomew were one and the same person. We'll stay with Nathanael for the moment. "Come and see," says Philip. And Nathanael falls in step with him, and Jesus sees them coming and immediately recognizes the luminous character of this new disciple advancing towards him. He then tells the others nearby, you can see it in the reading, "Here's a true Israelite in whom there's nothing false." It never took a moment for the Lord to see right into the soul of every possible recruit who came his way. A rich young ruler? One thing you lack. Your riches have come between you and God. Nicodemus? Nicodemus, you must be born again. Lord, I'll follow you, but first... Sorry? No one putting their hand to the plough and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Jesus was never ignorant of the inner character of those around him. It says in John 2 that he knew the whole of humanity through and through. Nathanael overhears Christ's affirming remark about him and asks, "But how do you know anything at all about me?" The Lord's answer stuns him. Nathanael, before Philip ever called you, in fact, earlier, when you were still under that fig tree, I saw you. I invited us all a moment ago to think where we were when we first became that we were under the spotlight of Jesus Christ and became his followers. When did he first see us? It's an eternal mystery we can't easily fathom. But no way did we ever say to ourselves, "I've decided to become a Christian." Never. No, somewhere way back, Christ saw us, and a day came, perhaps in answer to somebody's prayer, when we were given grace to respond to the call from him. And we found ourselves as grateful insiders within the believing family of God. And there must be a number of people here, many of us. No, it never just happens. Let me quote from that remarkable evangelist, Canon John Chapman of Sydney, Australia. "I was once talking," he said, "at the end of a meeting with a young student, and he said that what he was going to do was to live it up to the end of his life, have a really great time, and then just before he died, he'd become a Christian. I said to him, 'How do you know you'll be able to become a Christian at that time, at the end?' He said, 'I could become a Christian any day I like.' I said, 'You can only become one when God says.' He insisted that he could do it. So I said, 'Well, if it's easy as that, why don't you give us a demo? Why don't you show how you'll do it by becoming a Christian right now? If it's that easy,' I said, 'you'd be able to pull it off any time, wouldn't you?' 'Yes,' he said, 'but right now, I don't want to.' 'Come on,' said John. 'You aren't trying very hard. If you really can do it now. Should be a piece of cake.' He started to get a bit touchy. 'I don't want to,' he said evenly. 'Try a bit harder,' said John. 'Want to, want to.' 'I don't want to,' he said, gritting his teeth. 'Well,' said John, 'that's the problem, isn't it? What makes you think you'll want to at the end?' 'Well, sure. By the time that student will be on his deathbed at the end of his life, the likelihood is that he'd be so pumped full of drugs, he'd be in no state to decide what to have for breakfast, let alone how to spend eternity.'" Back to Nathanael again. Verse 50. True, Christ's immediate recognition of his character and his words about his having earlier seen Nathanael under the fig tree are evidently what gave rise to Nathanael's amazement that he knew all about him, followed by his ready testimony that Jesus must be the Son of God. "But then," says the Lord, "you believe because I was seeing you under the fig tree. You are going to witness greater things than that." I read on in verse 51. Jesus then adds, "I tell you the truth. You shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. If we are to understand those last words literally from the original, they look as though they're words spoken to Nathanael, but no, they were spoken then to the lot of them gathered there. Not so much you, singular, you Nathanael, shall see these things, but ye shall see. That is spoken in plural to all of them. It'll be the universal experience of all disciples one day to see the angels of God ascending and descending. And here Jesus uses one of his favorite descriptions of himself in his words, ascending and descending on the Son of Man. That title, Son of Man, from the great vision of Daniel, chapter 7, has the overtones of an altogether divine being, the coming Christ, whose kingdom will never end. And then those listening to Jesus would also remember the ancient story back in Genesis 28, where we had our reading, of mean-spirited Jacob in full flight from the revenge of his older brother Esau, having cheated him out of his rightful patriarchal birthright. Jacob, full of guile and deceit, lying now down to rest at Haran, far from home, with a stone for his pillow. And it was that night that Jacob had, and let's have a picture of this, a picture of Jacob's ladder. That visionary dream of his, of a stairway from earth to heaven, with angels ascending and descending upon it, and the Lord at the summit. It is a ladder of love that Jacob saw, a God-given visual message of a permanent two-way communication way forever set up between earth and heaven, and attended by ministering angels. Well, of course, it was picturing the story of the Bible, of a provided and sure way of access to God and from God. And to Jacob, this was completely new. This was Jacob's first encounter with the living God personally, and it was the turning point in his life. The stairway was telling him how, in spite of all his deceitful past, his soul could be conveyed up a provided way of communication right to the side of God. Further, he learned that night that God's covenant promises would be showered upon him, the promised land, of Abraham's spiritual descendants continuing on through his line, of people down the ages being blessed through him, Jacob. I am with you, declared the Lord. I will keep you. I will bring you. I will not leave you. And five chapters later, Jacob experiences, and here we think again of a wrestling encounter with a divine being who could only have been the pre-incarnate second person of the Trinity, the God-man whom we know as Jesus. Jacob was going to be blessed that night too, and then receive his new name, Israel. So we think of the children of Israel. We think of Israelites. And then Jesus saying to Nathanael, here comes an Israelite in whom is no guile. That vision of the stairway to heaven, it's always captured the imagination of God's people. I once visited the museum of the artist Chagall and saw there, and we have a picture there, of his painting of the stairway. And when I was on a visit to the city of Nice, I admired it very much. Or if you should ever find yourself on a visit to the city of Bath, try not to miss out on a visit there to the historic Bath Abbey. There it is. Because you can see carved into the original stonework On both sides of the great door, you can see again angels ascending and descending the heavenly stairway. The thrilling thing about this future vision of the angelic stairway lies in Christ's prophecy here in John 1, that the angels of God one day will be ascending and descending where? On the Son of Man. That is, on Himself. He is the salvation stairway between earth and heaven. He is the communicating way in person. And when we think about that, between heaven and humanity, and the angel hosts ceaselessly at His service and ours. As Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14 asks, are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? So as a Bible student, I then tentatively submit that the ultimate fulfillment of this tremendous 51st verse will be in the last days, when the new heaven and the new earth take over. When, as Jesus says here, you shall see heaven open. He actually says something very like that at his trial, when the high priest asked him, are you the Christ, Son of the Blessed One? And Jesus, using that divine title from Daniel 7, replied, I am, and you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven. Again, a reference to the last days. It is at the mention of Christ's Son of Man title in Daniel 7 that the high priest tore his robes at the supposed blasphemy and condemned Jesus to death. And then the spitting and the blindfolding began. So then here is our Lord, right at the start of John's Gospel. What is the word again? Come and see. Come and see. That was the word. Come and see. Helping those four new friends of his at least to begin in their understanding of just who it was who had come among them there by the Sea of Galilee. Come and see. Here was the start for Philip's new friend, Nathanael come Bartholomew, a man whom Jesus discerned had not an ounce of guile or pretense within him on the day he started out. What a disciple, what an apostle Nathanael must have been among the 12. And yet of his own future witness, work, sayings, and accomplishments, throughout those heady 3 years of travel, we don't know a single thing about him. Not even a single sentence is recorded from him, apart from that first question about Nazareth. But he was going to be there, in Christ's view, as a guileless golden man, a man of blessing among them all. It tells me, dear friends, as we close off, that you don't have to be an amazing wonder worker, a great orator, a tireless worker, a skillful soul winner, to be in the entourage of Jesus Christ. Just to be His man, His woman, day by day, waking up to a new day of discipleship with Him, becoming more like Him day by day as the friend of our life. That early start, come and see. It's wonderful enough. Then the message of the coming season of Advent tells us, we shall see greater things when, on that last day when the skies roll back and the stars fall from heaven, we see the man, the Son of Man, descending with his angels and with his holy ones. Descending as though from a stairway to collect us. Be that your vision and mine. Or should we say rather, be thou my vision. Let's sing as the dear little band helps us. Thank you very much.